And that is a great wonder, that God loves us and that God forgives us. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12 this morning. Hope that you got a handout when you came in. If you came in late, there's a handout there on the table to help this morning. And trust that you'll go ahead and get you one so that you'll have it and can follow along. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 14 and 15. And one of the reasons for giving you handouts is for you to be able to review back over what we've covered this morning and to meditate upon it and think upon it and pray upon it, what the Lord would have you to do with the message. Last week, we began to look at the need to guard ourselves against the emotion of bitterness in our lives. We said that most of the time, bitterness doesn't even touch the person that we're bitter against. But it sure will harm us, and we saw how that other emotions, such as anger, guilt, and grief, they may or they may not be a sin. But bitterness is always a sin. It's always a sin. We said that we need to have an attitude of forgiving others, even as Christ, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us of our sins. I find that that's one way when that stirring of bitterness begins to well up within you, go to the cross and look at what God had to forgive you of, okay? And it'll help you forgive that other person. We began to look at the effect that bitterness has on people, and we looked at the great need to guard against bitterness because of what bitterness can do in our lives. Let's read verse 14 and 15 here. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And notice verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We said last week that we must guard against bitterness because it upsets our spiritual life. We can't be right with God when we are holding bitterness. Bitterness necessitates that we walk in the flesh rather than walk in the Spirit, which we're called as believers to walk in the Spirit. And we also said that bitterness will halt whatever spiritual growth that we might hope for or have. Bitterness will halt it right there altogether, and you will not grow in the Lord as you should. We said that we must guard against bitterness because it upsets not only our spiritual life, but our physical life. We know that doctors have said that all kinds of medically linked physical maladies are linked there to this matter of bitterness. And not all sickness we know is caused by bitterness, but it's impossible to be bitter and it not affect your body. We said that we must guard against bitterness because it upsets our emotional life. Where there's bitterness, there's also discouragement. And if you don't deal with your bitterness, you can it can lead to paranoia. It can cause us to develop a victim's mentality, as well as become negative and critical in every area of our life. And then we said, last week, we must guard against bitterness because it upsets our church life. It can kill a fellowship of believers, and it can otherwise destroy church ministries. God said, and his book here that, sin is not good. I mean, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump is the way the Apostle Paul put it in Galatians 5:9. Now, we said as we closed last week that sometimes what we need to do is we just need to grow up. Just need to grow up. Get over things that have hurt us and move forward for Christ. That's what Christ would have us to do. And we can do that by remembering that we don't deserve God's forgiveness. And even if the other person doesn't deserve ours, it's still the right thing to do, so we should forgive them. So, this morning I want us to look at four more reasons to guard against bitterness. Four more reasons. Number five here, we must guard against bitterness because it can upset our other relationships. We have other relationships, don't we? most importantly, our family relationships. And there's more often than not a spillover effect with bitterness that we might have. And what I mean by that is one can become bitter in one area of their life, but that bitterness can spill over and have an effect in other areas of their life as well. And bitterness is a nasty and divisive tool that Satan loves to use to drive a wedge between people and to destroy relationships. But please understand, one doesn't have to be bitter toward their spouse for bitterness to ruin their marriage. Yeah, one can become bitter toward one or more of their own parents or both of their in-laws, and they can ruin their marriage in that way. Also, one can become bitter toward someone else entirely, and it can affect their marriage. It can ruin their marriage. One can become bitter toward someone at church and ruin their relationship with their spouse or with their children because of the spillover effect that takes place. A lot of times, one person in the family get mad, a husband or a wife, and just determine that we need to leave this church, and they'll leave mad rather than get things reconciled and get back right with God. That's not good. Bitterness in one's life can destroy their ability to be even a good employee or a good employer. If you own a business, you'll not have a good relationship with those that are under you or above you. Bitterness in one's life can make for you to be a terrible neighbor, and to have to live by and deal with. One's bitterness can even drive their own friends away from them. I mean, who among us wants to be around somebody that's bitter all the time? I certainly don't want to be. Bitterness can also make one a terrible person to have to wait on at the restaurant or down at the supermarket or anywhere else. I mean, I want you to just think about the poor waitress or cashier or customer service rep that has to endure a person's bad disposition that stems from their bitterness. So bitterness can upset our other relationships. The number six thing, we must guard against bitterness because it can deprive us of a blessing. Can I tell you that God wants to bless you this morning? He does. He wants to bless you through the teaching and preaching of the Word, bless you through the songs and all that we sing. But bitterness can cause one to have a negative and critical spirit about everything that they are involved in. And if one brings a negative, critical spirit to church with them, listen, they won't come looking for a blessing. They'll come looking for something to find wrong. And if you come looking to find something wrong, guess what? You're going to find something wrong. You get what you look for. If you want to look for a blessing, you'll find a blessing as well. Bitterness can, and it will, rob one of joy. You know, I don't know about you, but I like joy. Joy is a wonderful thing. I love to be around joyful people. And bitterness will rob you of that. Bitterness can cause one to reject the truth of the Word of God. And listen, the Word of God is the very source of blessing in our life. I mean, we're here this morning to hear from God. At least I hope that's what you're here for. We need to be here to hear from God. And if God's wanting to speak to your heart and your heart's full of bitterness, guess what? You're not going to listen. You're not going to listen. Bitterness can cause one to tune out and turn off all communication with God. I'm talking about where a person is not talking to God and God's not talking to them. I'm talking about when prayer and the Word of God take a back seat to what's going on in their life. Their life's all about that bitterness that they have inside. They're wrapped up in that, and they can't be wrapped up in God. I'm also talking about when the preaching and teaching of God's Word or even godly counsel can't get through to a person because they are closed to God because of their bitterness. I'm not going to talk of specific examples, but I have counseled with people before that you can show them the truth from God's Word of what they need to do. And they are so upset with this other person. They have their heart so filled with bitterness. It's like, well, you just don't understand what they did to me. You know, and they refuse to do what the Bible tells them to do. You know what that is? That's disobedience. When we refuse to do what the Lord tells us to do, then we are living a disobedient life. Number 7 here. We must guard against bitterness because it will grow and blossom into fruit that will defile us and possibly destroy us. Now, we're going to spend the bulk of our time right here this morning because there's a lot of fruit that will come from bitterness. Now, we know what the fruit of the Spirit is, don't we? And there are multiple fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are good things. Holy Spirit of God stirs that in our heart. But let's understand that if we're not walking according to the Spirit, and we're going to have the fruits of what we're walking in. And if we're walking in bitterness, there are some fruits that come from bitterness, just the natural part of it, that will take and defile us and possibly destroy us. First thing is rebellion. Especially if the source of bitterness is someone in authority. Someone trying to tell you the truth. Someone trying to preach the truth to you or teach the truth to you. And you get an attitude of bitterness against them. You say, well, I'm not going to listen to what they have to say. I'm not going to listen to what they are telling me. Even if what they're sharing with you, I could quote word for word what God has to say about it. And you would reject it if you got a heart full of bitterness. I know what I'm talking about. Jealousy. Especially when we see God working in the lives of others, but not in our lives. Remember how King Saul, he heard the songs of the women saying, you know, Saul is slaying his thousands and David's his tens of thousands. Remember that? And he got jealous. He was jealous of what the Lord was doing in David's life. David was blessed of the Lord. And he didn't like that. He was bitter against David. Envy. Envy is to begrudge something in another, especially their prosperity or happiness. You know, when someone has been blessed with the Lord and they got something great going on in their life, you know we're to rejoice with them. Rejoice with those that rejoice. And as well as weep with those that weep. But the Bible says we're to rejoice with them. We're not to say, well, I don't know why that happened to them and not to me. You know? And if you've got a bitter attitude, bitterness will cause you to be more envious of what's going right in other people's lives. Here's another good one. Gossip. You know, our other passage of Scripture there in Ephesians 4 and verse 31 and 32, let me read them to you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, that word clamor in Ephesians 4 and verse number 31 is talking about talking loudly. Misery loves company, and some will spread the tale of bitterness to anyone and everyone who will listen. I've heard people just raise their voice in the middle of a church about something that they were upset about one particular individual. Instead of going to that individual one-on-one and trying to get things right with them, and or taking a brother or sister with them and trying to get things right, they would just lift up their voice and they let you know what they think about that person. You know that's clamor. Yeah, we're to put that away. We're to put it away. But if you've got bitterness, you're going to be full of clamor. Slander. That's that word, the words evil speaking that we read there in Ephesians 4:31. Tearing someone down with our speech. You know, we're to lift people up. We're to lift one another up. And we're to not tear each other down. Distrust. distrust. The inability to trust others because of bitterness over a broken trust. Sadly, sometimes some people do break a trust, but that's no cause to get bitter. You know, we can get bitter, and when someone breaks a trust, but we ought to still have the ability to trust others that have not broken a trust. Amen. Oversensitivity. You ever known somebody that didn't take much to light their fire? Didn't take much to get them upset. They would strike the match. Yeah, that's how quickly they would get upset. We need to guard against being oversensitive. Sometimes I've seen people they just thought they heard something a certain way, and they flew off the handle and they didn't hear it right. They didn't hear exactly what was said. That's being oversensitive. Just take time to hear and understand and make sure that we're hearing it right. Hatred. That's having a malignant disposition toward those who did us wrong. You know, they can do us wrong, but if we turn around and hate them, you know what? We've done wrong. If we get bitter, we've done wrong. May God help us to not have a malignant disposition toward each other. Profanity. Now, that's where you really cross the line there. You begin to use vile language. Sadly, it happens even in among believers. But it should not happen. We get full of worry, full of care about everything because of failure to give a matter to God. Depression, the result of malignant disposition that harbors long-standing resentment, it can cause you to enter a state of depression. And when that happens, you know, people try to drown what's going on. If you constantly have that bitterness rolling in your life, you'll try to drown that. And a lot of folks will turn to strong drink. They'll turn to drug abuse or turn to alcohol. And drunkenness and drug abuse, bitterness can lead to it. Unfaithfulness to God. Okay, right here. When you hit and miss at church or drop out of church altogether because of something that happened down at church, you're letting it affect your life in a very major way. Listen, when we begin to have no desire for ministry or helping others because we're mired in self-pity, God help us, because that is not a good place to be. We need to make sure that we are faithful to God, we're faithful to His church, and that we are faithfully trying to get things right and keep things right in our lives. Pride. And I see this a lot. Even if you can get somebody to see their problem, usually pride prevents anything from being made right. They don't want to admit that they're right. They're wrong in anything. They don't want to admit that they need to make things right. Lying. You ever known somebody embellish the story? Maybe you were right there when the thing happened, and then you hear somebody tell the story, and you said, "That didn't sound exactly like what happened." And they embellish it, and you know, embellishing a story, changing a story to make the hurt appear bigger than it is just really another way to lie. That's what it is. It's a form of lying. Uncontrolled anger. It's that word wrath in Ephesians 4:31 that we're to put away from us. And that refers to impulsive outbursts or reactions. You know, as believers, we ought not to have a tendency to blow up. We just ought not to. We ought to be able to handle things without blowing up. We ought to be able to handle things sensibly. Ever been around somebody who had such outbursts? Showed the wrath. It's not, you don't want to be around folks like that. What about malice? That's a spirit which seeks revenge. Enmity of heart that has a disposition to injure. Can I tell you that when you take this to its extreme, and I've seen it because I've dealt with people in prison before. Okay, people will seek revenge. They'll get their revenge. They think, and they wind up locked up for what they've done. And that may include murder. I've seen some to destroy someone else's life because they were bitter against them. You know, you can murder somebody physically, or you can murder them otherwise. You know, you have got a heart full of hate toward them. That's just as good as killing them, really. But bitterness will grow and blossom into fruit that will defile us and possibly even destroy us. And here's the last thing this morning. We must guard against bitterness because it will not only trouble us, it can and probably will defile others. Now, when I'm saying that it can and will possibly defile others, I'm thinking not just among brethren. I'm talking about people that are lost. What if your bitterness and the fruit of your bitterness are what keeps someone from getting saved? Keeps someone out of church? Here in our text, in Hebrews 12, verse 15, looking diligently. That means, man, you got to work at this, right? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, that tells us that what we're talking about doing takes God's grace, doesn't it? And we have received God's grace, His unmerited favor, and if we've received His grace, we ought to be able to give that grace that we've received. Give others favor. Show others favor that's undeserved. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. We talked about the root of bitterness last week, didn't we? Root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now listen, bitterness is usually not kept to self. More often than not, the tongue is used to express bitterness. Look at James chapter number 3, only passage I'll have you to turn to this morning. James chapter number 3, and it talks about the tongue. It speaks of the power of the tongue. And James chapter number 3 and verse number 3, James 3, verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, in other words, just like the bit in the horse's mouth, just like the rudder of a ship, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Notice, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Have you ever known of a fire to get out of hand? My mom one time, she had a barrel, a burn barrel that she would burn trash in. That was behind Mom and Dad's house. And she was burning trash one day, and the wind picked up and blew some embers out of that barrel next to my daddy's barn. Burned the barn down with the tractor in it and a bunch of tools and all. Oh, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I mean, it wasn't a great fire when it began. But it says in verse 6, look, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. You get that? Your tongue can defile your whole body. It set is on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Notice what he says in verse 9. Therewith, and with the tongue, that is, we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Look what verse 11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Notice verse 14, though. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, from God, amen, the wisdom that's from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There are people who are not in church today who point to someone who had a root of bitterness that was in a church somewhere and caused them to be defiled. And they have said, I'll never go back to another church again, or I'll never go back to that church again. Listen, when we think someone has sinned against us, if we're not careful, it can turn to bitterness. We can expect and even wait for an apology, but if it doesn't come, we begin to harbor resentment against that person. We've gotten the wrong idea that before we can forgive someone, they have to apologize. You know that's not true? Not true at all. You know the word apologize isn't even in the Bible? It's not there. Look for it. It's not there. When we deem that someone has sinned against us, we often wait for an apology, though. However, if we don't get it, we can get bitter toward that person. What if the person doesn't realize that they have sinned against us? Or what if they actually haven't sinned against us, but we think they have? Then this is what will happen is they'll never apologize, and we can become bitter, waiting for an apology that will never come. Bitterness is a root. Bitterness is a root. And it's from the root that the defiling fruits that we talked about of bitterness eventually spring forth. Remember, last week we talked about removing the root of bitterness. You either have to kill the root, dig it up, get rid of it, by the grace of God. And it takes the grace of God to do that. Forgiveness and only forgiveness can kill the root of bitterness. It's the only thing that will do it. We can't do it by ourselves, and we definitely need God's help to do that. We must deal with bitterness like any other sin in our life. How are we supposed to deal with sin in our life? Well, listen to me this morning. If you've never received God's forgiveness for sin, then you don't really understand God's grace and mercy and God's forgiveness that He gives. which means that you don't really know how to forgive. If you've never been forgiven, you don't know how to forgive. The precious blood of Jesus was shed to give each of us forgiveness of our sin against God. And understand that there's not a one of us in here this morning, not one, that deserve God's forgiveness. But it's freely offered to all who come to God seeking forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank God this morning that the Lord forgave me. I reached out in faith and believed on what Christ did for me on the cross. If you're saved, you must realize that bitterness is a sin against God. And until you do this, the root will continue to grow, it'll continue to spread, and will continue to bring forth its vile fruit in your life. You have to quit focusing on the sin of the offender and focus on your bitterness as your sin. And focus on what Christ did in forgiving you. As I said when I began the message, this is what we need to do. When we feel that bitterness start to well up, we need to look at when we got forgiven by God. No, don't focus on what that other person has done to you. Focus on what you did to God. But He forgave you. You must confess your sin. You kill the root, dig up the root by God's help and grace. You must present this ugly, rotten, cancerous root to God, and you confess it as a sin, the sin that it is. Bitterness is a sin problem. Your sin problem. Not anybody else's sin problem. If you are full of bitterness, it's your sin problem. And then you receive God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess means to say the same thing. God, you know what God says about your unforgiving attitude, about your bitterness? It's a sin, and we need to see it as that. And He says it needs to be confessed and forsaken. And we need to do that. Jesus is always listening, waiting to hear the sinner come to Him in repentance. His love, His grace, and His mercy is waiting to heal and to cleanse. And you've got to forsake your sin of bitterness. Listen to Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Are you in the bonds of bitterness this morning? Why not let the Lord free you today and release you from those bonds? There's nothing more bitter. I want you to hear this, okay? It's the last comment I'm going to say. There's nothing more bitter than a sinner who needs to be forgiven, who can be forgiven, and yet is not forgiven. Because he won't accept God's forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness is offered. Receive it today. Don't delay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of Scripture. Lord, we know that living in this sinful world and living in this flesh that is tainted by sin, we need to have your grace. In this matter, what we're talking about, there's not a one of us at some time hasn't gotten bitter in our life. But Lord, help us to see that forgiveness is the only answer. Help us to be quick to forgive. Help us to be slow to get bitter, slow to get angry, but help us to be quick to confess our sin and get things right back with you. Quick to forgive and quick to overlook faults of others. To be forbearing. That word forbearing means to put up with one another. And we're to be forbearing, especially when it comes to brothers and sisters in Christ. Forgiving one another and forbearing one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Lord, help us There's not one of us in here that can do this by ourselves. We need your help. Give us this grace to be able to forgive. We learn how to forgive by looking at how you forgave us. Have your way in this invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.